Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hurry Up Podcast. I'm your host, David Giardino, and this week we have another special edition of the NBA podcast called The Ramble, where I'm just going to talk about what's going on around the league, some things I like, some things I don't like, and no real plan for today's episode. I'm just going to talk about some teams that have been hot recently and some that have kind of cooled off. Starting in the East, I am gonna talk about a team that I talked a little bit about last week with Brandon when he was on the show, and a little bit the week before when it was just me and Domin. But the Miami Heat. The Heat are back, and I have been saying it all year. After their very, very slow start to the year, they have won five straight games and are now the seventh seed in the East, only a game out of four. Look. This I can't deal with people saying that this team was a fluke. It doesn't make sense to me. This team, you don't win three playoff series as a fluke. You don't win 3 7-game series in the NBA as a fluke. In the NFL, you see fluke final teams all the time. You see fluke Super Bowl teams. That's not that far out of the ordinary because you just have to win three games to get there. Right, a team can get hot and win three games in the playoffs and reach the Super Bowl. That doesn't happen in the NBA. There aren't fluke teams making it to the finals because you do have to win 3 7-game series. And the Heat legitimately won 3 7-game series, not by a fluke, because they were the better team each time. Maybe not the most talented team, but they were the better team in each of those three series. And look, they've brought back a similar team this year. If anybody is still like wondering who Jimmy Butler is as a player and if he's the same person, yeah, he's still that guy. He's the same player that we saw in the playoffs last year. I mean, he came into that game against Utah and dropped 33 and just looked like man on a mission, and we know that he can turn that on whenever he wants. We saw that in the playoffs last year, and I think we're going to see it again. Bam Adebayo is probably the biggest all-star snub of the year this year. Even though I in the article I wrote, I gave Sabonis the nod over Vucevic, I would put Bam over him too. 19.5, 9.5, and 5.5. On obviously not a great team, but leading the Heat to where they are right now. I think he definitely deserved a nod. But like I said at the end of that article, I think Vucevic and Sabonis also deserved nods. And so did Julius Randle, and so did every other player that made it. It just shows you how much talent's in the league right now. But Jimmy and Bam have been playing well. Tyler Hero stepped up his play a little bit since the beginning of the year. Duncan Robinson's doing Duncan Robinson things. I really like Precious Achiuwa's game, even if he hasn't been putting up great numbers. I think he's the perfect Heat player. I had him as one of my sleepers coming out of the draft, because I think he embodies the Heat culture so well, and I think especially come playoff time. He's going to be really useful for them in some of those minutes. I don't necessarily I'm going to go back on what I said a little bit, and I don't necessarily believe that this team is just as good as last year, because I do think they obviously lost a really big piece in Jae Crowder, and he's proving on Phoenix how good he is right now and how big he was for the Heat last year. That is a big loss. So I don't. I'm not. I'm obviously. I'm not going to put them on the level of Philly, Brooklyn, or Milwaukee yet. But I'm going to be honest and say that I think they're the fourth best team in the East. I'm going to keep saying they would beat Boston in a 7-game series right now, without a doubt in my mind. Boston is not a great team, and I know they. I'm recording this on Sunday night. They just won a close game against the 13th seed Wizards, where fully healthy. Or not necessarily fully healthy, but pretty close to fully healthy. I don't think they're better than Miami. I think Miami is surefire the fourth best team in the East. And when the season settles, they'll get there. But I'm not exactly sure. I don't think they're anything higher than that. I think Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Philly are all better than them. So, like we say all every offseason, or at least Miami fans love to Photoshop free agents jerseys into Heat jerseys. The Heat are going to need to make a big deal. I think they will reports. Say that they were a little timid in maybe going after James Harden, not wanting to give up Tyler Hero. But like I said this about the Celtics, and I have more faith in the Heat organization than the Celtics organization for obvious reasons. That the being like the Heat have actually won recently and they have a much better culture than the Celtics. And while the Celtics are definitely a more storied franchise, the Heat are one of the best organizations, if not the best organization in the league. When it comes to like player relations and getting people to Miami. So I think it's time for them to make a deal, make a big deal. They did with bringing Jimmy Butler. Bam has emerged. Tyler Hero has promise, but I don't know how much longer Jimmy's prime is. Jimmy Butler is probably in his late prime right now, I would say. He's getting up there in age. And while he is going to be a good player in this league for a very long time, because his game is not necessarily super talent based. I mean, he obviously is incredibly talented, but the driving force of his game is his motor and his effort in the stuff that doesn't come up in the stat sheet, which is going to make him really good for a while. But it's just it's not it. I it's time to flip a switch. You got really close last year. If there is someone like maybe Bradley Beal becomes available, where you will have to give up significantly less than you would have had to for James Harden, I think they pull the trigger. I think they're one piece away from being with Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Philly because their culture is that good, their coaching is that good, Jimmy Butler's that good of a leader. But I mean, I'm just happy for them to be back where they are because I knew this team was better than what they were showing. I knew they were, and it's becoming more apparent now. Staying in the East, let's move to Toronto, another team where we've talked a little bit about on this pod, and it seemingly skyrocketed from like 13th in the East now up to 6th. This team is very interesting to me because the reason that they've won games recently is because Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam have stepped up and they've played like they're getting paid, like the money that they're owed. And then obviously the rest of the team has played well too. It's just, and Toronto's always going to be one of those teams where it's like they're always going to be in contention because they do it by committee and they have a lot of guys that can hurt you, and they do have a lot of talent on this roster, and that's going to keep them in playoff contention. But I'm just going to stick with what I said last week, and that Toronto has reached its peak. They tried. They won a championship with Kawhi, but after he left, like their ceiling was maybe getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they didn't even do that. And they weren't gonna do that. Boston was a better team than them last year, and it showed. And there was I didn't really think there was any point in that series where I actually thought Toronto was gonna win. And even if they did, like, they weren't going to beat Miami or Milwaukee. And looking at it this year, there are five teams I'm going to put above them right now. I'm going to put Miami above them. I'm going to put Boston above them. I'm going to put Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee all above them. I think they're at best the fifth best team in the East. And for a team that does not have a lot of young talent, that's frightening. That's means you're gonna be stuck in no man's land. And maybe they keep Pascal. I think maybe he's the only person that's safe on that roster because he's still fairly young. I think he's 25 or 26 maybe. So maybe you keep him. But like, as much as it pains me, and it absolutely pains me to say this, it might be time to move Kyle Lowry. Lowry has not had a great year this year, and I know that his impact goes way beyond stats. I mean, yeah, I still think he's a great point guard, and he is averaging 18 a game. But for his sake and for the team's sake, I think he might be better off going somewhere. And for the Raptors, on the Raptors side, trading him while he still has a lot of value. Because I think there is a market for him. I think there's a team that could use a savvy vet point guard that knows how to win, because as many memes that are made about or were made about Kyle Lowry in the playoffs, this guy has won, and he has won for a very long time at this point. And I think there are a lot of teams that could potentially use that. The teams that are one step away, maybe like a Dallas, maybe like, I don't know, maybe I'm loving maybe him to Dallas, and I'm loving, I don't know, maybe New Orleans, but I don't know if the money would work there. There are a lot of places that he could potentially go where he could be successful. But I don't think this Raptors team is enough. I don't think they've reached their peak. They reached their peak last year, and this year's team is worse than last year's team. And I know VanVleet has improved, and Siakam has improved a little bit. But he's proven that he can't be a one option on a championship team, and I don't think VanVleet can, quite honestly. I don't think he is the one option on this team. So unless they can get another Kawhi to come in and save them, which is not going to happen, it's time to blow this team up and maybe build around Siakam as your two guy, and hope and pray you get a young guy that can be your one. But the championship window for Toronto, I think, is closed. And the last team in the East I want to talk about is actually Milwaukee. A team that seemed at the beginning of the week to me to be in a little bit of a weird situation. Jrue Holiday was up for a massive extension, just became up for a massive extension, and I was like, well, Milwaukee has to sign him to that, right? Because they just gave away between 3 and 5 first round picks to get him in the first place. They weren't gonna just let him walk and not extend him. And that worried me, because I love Jrue Holiday. He's a great player. But I didn't love Milwaukee at the time, and I thought that Philly and Brooklyn were way ahead of him at any point. But then this week happened, and Giannis happened, and I watched some of their games, and then I remembered Giannis is a back-to-back MVP for a reason. He is, obviously they're like the flight memes, and they're the, oh, he's 13'8", but like, this guy can play, and he's really good. And maybe that slipped my mind a little bit, but this dude is legit, and this team is legit. Yeah, and I think they made a lot of really good moves in the offseason. Like, a guy like Bobby Portis has come in and played really well off the bench for them. Jrue Holiday is being Jrue Holiday, and he gives them a different dynamic than what they've had before. And even like Dante DiVincenzo's come into his role really nicely. Chris Middleton is also an all-star snub, but I don't think he deserved it as much as some of the other guys, so it makes sense that he wasn't there. But this team is legit top three, top two team in the East, and they deserve to be. They're on a nice little win streak right now, and I don't really see them slowing down anytime soon. I think this is a really good team. And I know that I said that they were the last team I wanted to talk about in the East, but actually, I want to talk about the Knicks a little bit. And I know on this pod before. I have kind of talked, not talked down about the Knicks, but not, maybe not giving them the credit they deserve, because I thought this team was a maybe a, not maybe fluke's not the right word, but not legit, and not a legit. I said not a legit playoff team, and I was wrong. I'd be the first to admit I was completely wrong. Julius Randle is a much better player than I gave him credit for at the beginning of the year, because I said that he was just making his trade value better and better, and he was going to get shipped at the deadline. And obviously, that's not going to happen now. No, they're not a contender. They're definitely not a contender. But New York basketball's back in the playoffs, and that's something that people should be excited about, because the Knicks deserve to have a good team. They do, and they haven't for a while, and that's really bad for the league and bad for just basketball in general. But they have a good team, and a surprisingly young team as well. I mean, Julius Randle is surpassing all expectations this year, obviously. Totally deserving as an all-star, and he's 26. So maybe he's entering his prime now. Obviously, I don't think he's a one option on a championship team, so that scares me a little bit. But I don't even want to think about that right now. I don't want to think what the cap is on this team, because that would just, like, I don't know, that would throw me for a loop a little bit. I just want to talk good about New York basketball while it's still good, because the Knicks are kind of cursed, and so that might not be the case for a while. RJ Barrett has had a much better season. It was totally snubbed from even any all-rookie team last year, which is insane. But I mean, I guess I get it. But he's shooting well this year. 43%, not well, but not inefficiently. 43% from the field, 44% from three, or 34% from three. It's good to see him getting some really good minutes and producing, kind of unlike he did last year. I like Derrick Rose as an addition to that team. Obviously, I would much rather that he were traded to a contender like the Lakers, because I want to see D. Rose in the Hall of Fame, and I don't think he's there yet, and I think he needs rings to get there. And so I wish he was on a championship team. But him playing with, like, him being a mentor to a guy like Emmanuel Quickley could be huge for them. He could be it'd be huge. And Emmanuel Quickley, like, I haven't even mentioned him. This dude is good. Really, really good. And undrafted. I mean, the Knicks got a gem. And how often does that happen? The last time that happened was Alonzo Trier, and they totally screwed that up. Please don't screw up Emmanuel Quickley. You have a good player. Maybe start him. I don't know. I understand more that why they're not starting him now that they're like actually they're an actual playoff team. But, like, maybe give the guy a little bit more run. I mean, he's only averaging 19 minutes a game. He's a good player. Give him some more time. The only bad thing about this team is Obi Toppin has not played great so far, but I think we all kind of knew that was gonna happen at some point. And he is playing behind Julius Randle, which is something I didn't think was gonna happen. He's not playing that much yet, and so I still have faith in him. But that's a little bit concerning. But overall, like, Knicks basketball is back to being good, and that's something that every fan in the league should be happy about. We're gonna take a little break, and when I come back, I'm gonna talk about the West a little bit. All right, everybody, welcome back. So moving on to the West, the first team I want to talk about is Phoenix. I touched a little bit upon them last week, but I don't think I got enough. I got a chance to say as much as I wanted to. I am so happy for this team. And I talked a little bit about this in the All-Star article I wrote. But Devin Booker has really impressed me this year. He's completely thrown out the narrative of being the empty stats guy that people talk about last year. Like the guy that just puts up points because he's on a bad team. Now we know that's not true. We know that this guy is actually a really, really good player, and
is capable of leading a team and doing more than just purely scoring. I think his play his playmaking has gone a really, really long way over the course of his career, and he's starting to win, and that's awesome because he deserves to win because he's a really good player. And I hate when good players are on bad teams, because then they're the people that are the empty stats people, and that just doesn't make any sense to me. Empty stats doesn't really exist in the NBA, I don't think. And Devin Booker has proven that. He's proven that, like, give him competent teammates and he will win. He's not just good because he's on a bad team. And this year has also proven the value of Chris Paul. I know we talk about LeBron all the time and how he's able to produce at this level at how old he is, because it's incredible and it's inhuman. Like, the guy is 37 years old and still an MVP candidate, and he deserves all the credit in the world for that. I'm not trying to take any of that away from him. But we have to give some of the same respect that we give to LeBron to Chris Paul. This guy is almost as old as LeBron and is still playing at an all-star level. I mean, most older point guards fall off by now. And Chris Paul has continued, and he's shaped his game, and he's used his mind to stay at the level that he is. I think, well, he obviously when you're younger, you have more athleticism and you're able to make plays like that. But we've seen Chris Paul develop into, throw away the rumors of all the bad leader thing that we heard when he was in Los Angeles, and the bad leader things we heard when he was in Houston when he clashed with James Harden, which, by the way, we've now understood is just Houston was just a bad situation for everybody involved, and I'm loving to see the former Rockets flourishing right now. It's been great to watch. But Chris Paul is just a guy that you want on your team, and he's gonna go out and compete and mentor and do all the little things, control the tempo of the game, be a leader, like all of those things. And he has the Suns in a really good spot, and I think he might be their most important player right now. I loved him, obviously. Devin Booker is Devin Booker, but this team is good because of the Chris Paul effect. And Ayton and Miles Bridges, or not Miles Bridges, Ayton and Mikal Bridges are having great years, and Jay Crowder is a great addition. And I like Cam Johnson, Saric, all those guys. I think Phoenix is a year away. I don't think they're going to make a ton of noise this year. I think they can make a pretty decent playoff run. But I think we still have time with Chris Paul. As much as I didn't really believe at the beginning of the year we were going to, I thought we had maybe 2 years of him left. Maybe two prime years of Chris Paul left. And I don't think that that's true. I think we're going to see the same thing we're seeing with LeBron with Chris Paul. Like, every year we're going to be like, oh, Chris Paul's going to fall off this year. And then every year he goes out and he plays like Chris Paul plays. He's that good. And he takes care of his body and he's committed. Phoenix is going to be really scary in a year. And I'm happy to see that, because I also have just been a fan of Phoenix for a while. Just on the side, not obviously I'm a Thunder fan, but on the side I've liked watching Phoenix play, especially ever since they've drafted Devin Booker. And so I'm happy for them to make a run. Moving on to the team currently right below them, San Antonio Spurs, which has been definitely the biggest surprise of the year, definitely, or maybe next to the Knicks. But I have been an advocate for the San Antonio tank for about 2 years right now. I thought, well, I recognize the immense talent that DeMar DeRozan has, because he is still a very, very good NBA player, and people don't understand that. He's a very good NBA player. People don't understand how hard it is to average 20 a game without really shooting threes in the modern NBA. Like, that takes a lot of talent. I always thought that they should tank. I'm really not changing that right now. Look, the Spurs, they're winning, right? But they're not. And they're always going to have a fighting chance because Pop is one of the best coaches of all time. But I don't see them going far. And DeMar DeRozan should have absolutely been an all-star, probably over Zion. I know that's a very unpopular opinion to have, but the San Antonio Spurs have become the first above 500 team to not have an all-star in a very long time. DeMar DeRozan deserves to be an all-star. I don't. I mean, I'm gonna get backlash from for saying that because maybe Zion's had a statistically better year, but DeRozan's team is significantly better, and quite honestly, Zion just has better players around him too. So there's no excuse for his team not to be as good as the Spurs are right now. So DeRozan definitely deserves an all-star, and I think he's definitely increasing his trade value right now, which the Spurs should absolutely take advantage of. This team is not a championship team. I'm sorry, they're not. They're maybe a 4 or 5 seed at best. At best, like right now, obviously both LA teams, Utah is above them, Phoenix is above them, and even I'm gonna put Portland and Denver above them eventually. I think Denver will turn it around, and I think Portland's that good. And then maybe even Golden State too. And maybe even Dallas. I don't, maybe not Dallas. But Portland, Golden State, and Denver are all better than them. So I think maybe at best they're going to finish the year as an 8 seed. Maybe a 9 seed if Dallas puts it together. And maybe a 10 seed if Memphis or New Orleans puts it together. So capitalize on your guys gaining trade value now. DeRozan should be on the out, and I still think he can help a championship team. So I don't think this is like, this isn't me like bringing down DeRozan at all or what he's done, because he's really good, and I think he could help a championship team, a team take the next step to becoming contenders, maybe on Portland, like I mentioned them earlier. He could give them some wing scoring that they need. But they need to sell high on DeRozan, and then I think they need to get rid of Aldridge too, maybe to the Celtics. I know you Celtics fans out there are putting your eyes on the big guys like Vucevic or John Collins or Cat. Aldridge could be a really underrated pickup for you guys, and I think he would fill the role that you need nicely. I'm overall impressed by the Spurs team, but once again, I'm not like super high on them because I don't really have a reason to be. I don't think that they haven't shown that they're anything better than a fluke regular season team right now. I said fluke playoff teams don't exist because in the NBA it's hard to win 3 playoff series, but fluke regular season teams absolutely exist. I mean, look, when you're in the regular season, you're playing against everybody, and so you can be a bad playoff team and be a really good regular season team. And I think this is just a good regular season team that's not gonna win anything in the playoffs. Going on to some teams or a team that's not doing so hot right now. The Houston Rockets are currently on an 11-game losing streak. And the Rockets are in a tough spot, and I think they're making the best of said tough spot, but they're still in a tough spot because if you don't know, they don't own their pick this year. My Thunder own their pick this year, and right now they are the third worst team in the league. And it was just reported today that Victor Oladipo turned down the max extension from them, or the max that they could have given him, which for him was the right deal, and also I think maybe what the Rockets knew was going to happen when they traded for him. I think they obviously must have considered that he was on an expiring deal and probably thought that he was going to leave. But the Rockets rebuild is one of the weirdest I've seen in a while, or maybe one of the most interesting ones I've seen in a while, because it's not traditional. They have a young, I'm going to call him young, but he's really not that young. He is. He's like 24. Christian Wood is great. Christian Wood is a gem, and they got him on a steal of a contract. I still don't know what Detroit was doing, because I mean he was been great, but Christian Wood is great, and he's a guy I think you can build around. But besides that, they don't have that much young talent. They don't, and they need to start getting some. And maybe that's trying to get picks in this year's or next year's drafts, I know that those are going to have a lot of value because these next two drafts are incredibly stacked. But this team just needs a reset. And it's going to be hard because they have some massive contracts. I mean, John Wall's, as good as John Wall's played this year, his contract is just abysmal. It's still one of the worst in the league. Eric Gordon is making like $18 million this year. So those are just two massive contracts. And like I said earlier, they don't really have that much young talent. And they're a bad team. And they're not going to be that much of a better team than where they are right now. Maybe at best they're like maybe a 10 or 11 seed. But they're not a playoff team. And they're for sure a lottery team. So look for some contenders to look for their players. I'm going to flip it a little bit. It's like obviously they're going to want to get rid of some of their guys. But maybe look for – there are going to be a lot of teams that could use P.J. Tucker. Brooklyn is probably my favorite to get them. I think he would fit in absolutely perfectly on that team. But there are a lot of contenders that could use P.J. Tucker. I think there are a good amount of contenders that could use Eric Gordon, except for his contract is absolutely massive. But I think maybe a Philly – If they don't want to mess up, unless they don't want to mess up what they have right now, which I would advise them not to. I think their team right now is championship ready. But maybe Philly wants an Eric Gordon. There are teams that want their players. They just have to be willing to move on from them. The Rockets aren't anything more than what they are right now. And it's a little sad to see, but also they have Christian Wood, and that's really all I can say for them right now. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at @TheOfficialHurryUp, where we post daily content about the NBA. You should also check out our website, thehurryup.com, where we post more in-depth content about the NBA as well. You also go follow us on Twitter at @_TheHurryUp, where we plan to give short pieces of insight on relevant news items on a regular basis. Make sure to stay tuned for these weekly NBA segments every Monday, our NFL segment which comes out Wednesday, and more bonus content on the weekends. Thanks again and see you guys next week.